Forever. Yeah, it's on, is it? Not working. Not working. Yeah, that probably must be another bad cord. Okay, I'll use this one and stay up close. Let's pray for Miss Sterling McMahon. She's in Park Ridge Hospital. Don't know exactly all that's wrong, although she's got some problems. Had to go to the emergency room in the middle of the night, so let's pray for her. There's a special need there. Turn your lives, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. We got started in the book of Acts this morning, chapter 3. We looked at the title, Just Another Day in the Service, Adventure of the Lord. Just Another Day. That's what it should be every day. The disciples were praising God every day. The preceding chapter closed out with saying they were praising the Lord. So these people just had a good relationship with God. They were praising God, waiting for him to make the next move. Works a lot better like that. I found that my schedules don't do so good. But if I can learn to go on his schedules. And we saw in the beginning of chapter 3 that they had good intentions that day. The disciples of John and Peter were talking about, they were going to the house of prayer. Usual time, every day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. And there's a good purpose, a good cause. We saw that was the beginning of chapter 3. But then we saw something most unusual. As they were going toward the house of God to pray, which is very important, the Lord still had his schedule he wanted to be adhered to. Even though you got your mind made up, I'll do this, I'll come to church, you know, when it's open, all that stuff. But maybe on the way to church, God wants to sidetrack us a little bit. And so as they were going in to, right before they got there, been through a beautiful gate, the gate beautiful, it's called, there was a lame man laying there asking alms, money, needing help. Been laying there every day. The Bible says he was laid there daily. He'd been lame from his mother's womb all his life. And no doubt, Peter and John, as they were going, they had seen him many times. But you see, they wasn't following their own schedule because they're on God's schedule. Now, if they had stopped any other time and said, wouldn't you like to be healed? They'd been on their own. But when God speaks, and we see now that the beginning of that day was headed to the house of God, and then we saw right in the middle of it that before you do what you'd plan to do, let God direct your paths. It's a good thing they did, because as they stopped out and said, we don't have any silver and gold what you think you need, but we've got what you really need. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand, and from that moment on, he was healed. And this young man that got healed, he just didn't go out and do the things he used to do. He was attentive to the things of God. He was found leaping and walking and praising the Lord. And you might know where he went. Because anything worth anything is going to begin at the house of God. So he went to the house of God with them. And there he is, not only leaping and praising the Lord, but the Bible says he was whole and he helped Peter and John. The word in the Greek means to embrace them. He had a lock on him. And the crowd got pretty excited. Here this man is. We've seen him all these years. Lame he was. But yet, two men came by. He's walking and leaping. And in the temple now, praising God. So all the people started gathering. You know what's going to happen when the Baptist preacher's around and people start gathering. Well, you know exactly what's going to happen. Peter got boldness and said, let's just preach your gospel message. So he started preaching the gospel message, and the crowd kept coming and kept coming. And we're going to read tonight that 5,000 people got saved just because Peter and John was listening to the Lord. And we'll talk about tonight, let's follow his schedule rather than ours, the Lord's schedule. Sometimes if I go on my schedule, I make one out. I've got a schedule made out for the next 3 years. Don't amount to much. It's easy to change on Excel. You just go in and move the dates around, move the time around. But, you know, you've got to start somewhere. But if we could ever learn to get on God's schedule, disciples are on it now, house of prayer, stopped and prayed for this man, and the Lord healed him. They preached the message. And you might know what the message was, too. Exaltation of Jesus. He died. He rose. He ascended, and God forgives sin. And then he looked him right in the face and said, you folks, you crucified him. Pilate was going to let him loose, deliver him, but you crucified him. Oh, that's a big sin on your charge. Nonetheless, God would forgive your sins and blot out all these transgressions that you killed the Son of Glory if you would repent and turn and follow him. Isn't that a good deal? All the wrong we've done, all the mistakes we've made, and Jesus died on the cross, and his blood forgives all of our sin, and all we have to do is repent, which means I'm sorry, I'm going wrong. And repentance means we turn and we go the opposite direction. You don't hear that from a lot of modern day churches, but thank God you hear it from the Word. And let's just go with the Word, not what man says. Which brings us to chapter 4. Now, look at what's happening. A man that's been lame all his life, suddenly healed and saved and praising God. And people are rejoicing and people are repenting and getting right with God. You would think that the religious crowd and the worldly crowd would say, boy, this man was, you know, they say they like to help people. You would think they would have done an interview with Peter and John at least. And, you know, but no, it wasn't like that at all because they were quite jealous. Let's read about the account in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And as they spake unto the people, right in the midst of preaching, getting them right with God, getting them saved, right in the middle of that, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Look at these people that's mentioned just for a little bit. Why would these people be so upset that somebody that was lame is now walking and praising God? Well, that may not have bothered them all that much, except they had heard this name Jesus. They didn't like that a little bit because they had to realize, we crucified the Lord of glory. And even though the people themselves, many of them were getting saved, 5,000 got saved, not about because it's priest. Now, let's look at that. People, the priest, and captain of the temple. We'll read about those priests a little bit later on, the high priest. They're appointed by Rome. Yeah, you know, Christ's church, the priest, appointed by Rome, absolutely, political as it could be. And we see Annas, he was the high priest, and then his son-in-law, Caiaphas, he was going to be high priest in his stead because Rome got pretty upset with Annas and dispelled him and got rid of him after about 10 years and put his son-in-law on the throne. And so you can see that these boys are in it for a lot of things, worldly good, fame and fortune and what pads their pocket, but not about Jesus. No, don't want to hear that name. And we're quite upset that you boys have been going out and doing all this thing because you've got the people in uproar and now you're turning them away from what we want and letting them follow somebody that died for their sins, so you say. So they laid hold on him, as we'll find out in the next verse. And now they're grieved that they had taught the people. Oh, these people, Peter and John, they're teaching. That's what Jesus said to do. When I leave and go away, begin here at Jerusalem, go out and tell people about me, winning them to the Lord, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's your job. They're just doing what God told them to do. Works pretty good that way, to go on God's schedule and not ours. Preaching and proclaiming and praising God for all the things he has done, for what he is doing and what he will do, and he's still working, if we could learn to get on his schedule. So now, the people didn't like that. The chief priests, Sadducees, captain of the guard, who was a captain of the temple? He was self-appointed by the priest. Those people that were appointed by Rome, and pretty much a puppet on a string. You name it and we'll do it, you know, that political game. You know, we'll appoint you and we'll tell you what to do, but one thing you have to do is please us. So now they had nothing in mind. It's not about Christ Jesus. It's not about God. It's about religion and the falseness of religion. And verse 2 says they're preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They got their story straight. Christ was crucified, resurrected, and atoned for our sins by his own shed blood. So they laid hold, they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. This has been a long day. You remember it was about 3 o'clock when they went by. And the Lord says, before you go in there to pray, which is a good thing, got a little errand for you to do. Stop over. This is his day. Do you really think if God intended for that lame man to be healed that day and their hand was extended, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus, of course, if he had said, no, not today, do you think he'd have had that opportunity another day? I don't know, but I don't think so. It was that day. And now it's getting late in the afternoon. The day's far spent. He'd been preaching and proclaiming and shouting and praising God the whole afternoon. And the priest got there and the captain of the guards, and they stopped it as the young man that was healed was laying hold and hugging and embracing Peter and John. Now the Roman guards and religious guards have got him. And they laid hold on him and went and put him in prison. What did they do wrong? Preach the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. But the world don't want to hear that. Religion doesn't want to hear that. But they said, we're doing it because Jesus gave us authority to do it. He instructed us to do it. And after all, we're following his schedule today, not ours. And every other day. Verse 3. It was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Boy, they arrested them just a little bit too late, didn't they? I bet they said, if we just got here a little earlier. And the number of the men was about 5,000, not counting the women and children, that got saved because they were following God's schedule and not their own. And because Peter had the boldness to speak and to point out sin is sin, but God forgives sin. And they believed. And now there's a whole flock of people that's saved. And the priest and the Sadducees and the captain of the guard can't do a thing about it. Because now you have eternal life. And now that eternal life is going to get you all the way to the city of God. But they're going to stop it. They don't want it happening in the future. They can't do anything about the power of God. But they have to quiet the preaching. They don't like this praise. They don't like this worship of Jesus Christ the Lord. So we're going to read just a little bit about how they have tried their best. And nothing's changed. Still goes on today in some countries. Missionaries get arrested, proclaiming the word of Jesus, and they're held in prison most of their lives. Well, it could happen here in America. It's happening all around the world. Nothing's really changed, but we still have a schedule to keep, and that wouldn't be ours. It would be God's, preaching, proclaiming, and praising the name of the Lord. Verse 5 says, and it came to pass on the morrow, that their rulers and elders and scribes, well, got the whole religious outfit involved now, don't we? And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Not only is this political office of the priest, it wasn't supposed to be like that. Remember, the Levites are supposed to be priests. And God has strict, but they're long removed from that. They're not following what God wants anyway. They're carrying on religion. And now all these people here and the whole family, because Caiaphas is already the son-in-law of Annas. And now, we've got to make a job for him. We've got to make a job for him. After all, we're in a family, blood family, you see. Nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, just about themselves. Really, if you look at the situation in the world today, not much has changed, has it? But we still have a copy of the word, don't we? Still know what to do. And he's still in control. And as we read this morning, or we quoted from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our job is to acknowledge him. He sets the schedule, and we follow his schedule. And business will pick up on our side of the street when we learn that. And verse 7 says, and when they had set them in the midst, I bet these two boys are scared to death, don't you? I think again. They don't have legal counsel. They have the greatest lawyer in the universe, Christ Jesus. Did not he say, I'm sending my Father to sit on his right side, and there I'll be your representative. And he's the greatest attorney, and he's the greatest prince, and he's the greatest ruler the world has ever known. So they don't have to have lawyers that may be crooked. They're not at least in the least bit intimidated by all these religious people. And now they're hovered all around, and here you've got Peter and John in the midst. And we'll find out later on what they think about them. They've been teaching the people, so they're teachers. They've been showing that they got power of God because a man was raised up that was lame and 5,000 people accepted the word. So they are anointed teachers. But this religious crowd don't think they have that authority. May I remind you the only authority we need is God's calling? God calls. God anoints. God purposes. Our job is to acknowledge him in all our ways. And they set them in the midst, they asked. Well, this is a bad question. It's just what exactly they wanted to hear. By what power or by what name have you done this? I bet Peter was punching John and saying, I was hoping they'd bring that up. It just opened the door. You see, if God opens the door, no man can shut it. And if God closes the door, no man can open it. That's what Scripture says. And they're saying, what power did this man, was he raised? And by what name and what authority? It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not his words at all. The Holy Ghost is in him, on him, working through him, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of a good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he be made whole, be it known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you this whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become of the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you can only imagine the testimony. We read the words, but those religious leaders got to see the power of the Holy Ghost as the anointing of the word was manifest. And that makes all the difference. If God anoints what's said, that's what makes the difference. So they observed and they saw the boldness of these two men wasn't intimidated. Why? They act like they didn't even respect us. Well, they respected the office they held, but they didn't respect them. They were right. But they saw these men are bold. It must be something that they're doing. It must be. We can't deny somebody was healed. We can't deny 5,000 changed. But we don't like it. And we got to stop it. Whatever it takes, we have to stop it. Now, the scripture indicates they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's just the way God wants it. No flesh shall glory in my sight. It's not education. It's not preaching styles. It's not anything. It's the knowing of God. Unlearned and ignorant in the world's means, but rich in the things of God. And they knew about Jesus. And they knew that they knew. They'd heard too much about Jesus. They couldn't deny the fact that he would walk up to a grave and speak the words, and the person that was dead was now alive. They knew that to be true. They knew in the name of Jesus that there was power in that name. These religious people knew that. And they knew that Peter and John now were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How'd they know that? Because they'd been magnifying him, elevating Christ Jesus. And as such, that name had the power, through that name, to make that lame man rise up and walk and run to the temple and start praising God. They knew all that. Yet they knew that it wasn't Peter and John within their own skill, their own intellect, their own anything. And that's the way God wants it. He's quite happy when every one of us just humble ourselves so he can exalt us. If there's any exaltation to be done, let him do it. If we try to exalt ourselves, we're going to fall. And you're not going to exalt yourself anyway, because no flesh shall glory in his presence. We humble ourselves, and then if we're submitted and committed to him, he will exalt us and anoint his word, not my word, but his word. Now, these religious leaders, they have to go out and decide what they can do about it, if anything. Verse 14, and behold, in the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Who can stop the power of God? The world can't. Religion can't. And they can't even say it's wrong, because God gives resurrection power. We were dead sinners, but Christ Jesus came by and quickened us, saved us, and we change. He changes us, and the world can see the evidence that you were a drunkard or you were drugs, whatever you were, not anymore. What happened? Didn't go off to college and get all that. Wasn't anything else. It must be the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Verse 15 says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now, they felt like Peter and John should be intimidated with all these people around, you know, in robes and whatever they had, and all the family, and hundreds of them there were, the Sanhedrin, which was a powerful court. And these two boys wasn't even shaking the bit. But who got intimidated? The rulers and the Sadducees, and they were the ones that intimidated. They said, get these boys out of our sight. We have to confer without them around. So they started conferring. They said, well, we can't stop it. Let's just go out and command them that they can't speak that name anymore. So they approached them back and says, okay, we're going to let you go. Can't hold you in prison, but we're not asking you to. We're telling you to. We're the authority around here, and we've got the authority, and you can't teach. You don't have the opportunity to teach. You're not called teachers by Rome. And so you can't teach or preach or even mention his name. Now, if Peter had been coming up with the answer to that on his own, no telling what these lives say, because we've already seen Peter make some pretty bad mistakes. He had told the Lord one time, you know, I know these boys will probably leave you. I wouldn't put it past them, but not me. I'll stay with you all the way. And he was the first one to deny him. So we know that the words Peter says is not his words. And so the Holy Ghost, you never have to worry what to say. The Lord, the Holy Ghost will help you know what to say. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. That's the best answer. You couldn't even come up. Nobody could come up with a better answer. They put it right back in their lap. You're the so-called religious people, and you say you worship God. And so if you know you ought to worship God, who are you going to obey, him or you? And so they didn't have an answer to that. Not only did God set the schedule for these two men, but he was telling them what to say, when to say, how to say it. And to beat all, he was anointing and empowering the words they said, just like he planned to do, just like he still wants to do if people are usable before him. And now these people, look what they say in verse 21. We've got to hurry. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. 5,000 saved, besides women and children, and a young man that's able to run and leap and praise the Lord, and And the people wouldn't like it too much if they'd held Peter and John in jail. And the Lord made that also. Well, I'm interested in lastly, and now what's Peter and John going to do? They have been threatened. And these people had the power of Rome backing them. They could have locked them up. If they go out and preach in his name again, not be arrested. If they go out and follow God's schedule again, they might be beaten. They could even lose their life. Some had. James lost his head not long ago with a sword, remember? And John the Baptist lost his head. You think they're going to run scared? No, I don't think so. Let's see what they go out and ask God. Because remember, they're going on God's schedule, not theirs. And all they want to do is want God to be pleased. Verse 27, for of a truth against that holy child Jesus, whom they hath anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever the hand of that counsel determined before to be done, here's their prayer to God. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You heard it. We're your people. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They never once prayed for safety, security. They already had that. They didn't have to pray that you'll send this where people receive and not reject. Didn't need that. All they want to do is magnify his name and give us the boldness and the courage to speak about the wonderful things of God. How is he going to do that? By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. There's been a lot of people that have said, and make sure all the world knows it's Peter and John that's doing this. Let all the people throughout history know that it's us. We were the one that God spoke to, not you. We were the one that had enough faith to believe if they would believe in Jesus, he'd be healed. And he was. We preached the message in 5,000. No, that wasn't it at all. Give us power with you so you will be magnified and not us. Lastly, I'm interested to know what God thought about that prayer. Well, let's find out together. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God liked it so much, he just... Can you imagine the power of God shaking the place? I mean, literally, the word made, he shook the place. Not a problem for him. I remember when Paul and Silas was in prison, God came down and shook that place, and all the jail doors were open, and their stocks fell off. Well, God can do what he wants to, if he wants to, and all you have to do is follow his schedule and be submitted to his will. And now they're out preaching, proclaiming the word of God. Just another day of adventure. It's a wonderful thing to follow the Lord. It's so exciting. You just don't know what he's up to next. But I do know this. If you can listen to him and follow his advice, it'll sure pay off. God will get glory for it, and God will bless us. And God may even shake us and get us to be four square for him. Don't you think we need a shaking in America? I know sometimes I feel like I need a shaking. God, you know, I'm doing so little. And sometimes just shake me really good. I told some of you this before. All of you wasn't here. My grandfather experienced that. God shaking him quickly. He told me this before he died that years ago when the children were little, his wife, my grandmother, got really sick and, you know, had to go to the hospital and just about didn't make it. So he went to the altar and made himself an altar and said, God, if you will cure her, that means cure for us modernists. The old-timey word was cure. And if you will cure her and send her home, I'll come to this altar once a day and pray the rest of my life. 30-something years later, Grandma gets bad heart trouble and she's old. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you're too old, you're too sick, you know, we can't do a thing for you, you're not going to make it. That's what the doctor said. But Grandpa went back to his altar. He said, I said, God, I know you remember what I remember. I promised you I would come once a day. All these years, I've come twice a day, every day. And I want you to cure her and send her home by a certain time tomorrow so I'll know you've done it. He said, something shook me like three men couldn't. Let him know God's accepting that prayer. Well, did it work? Oh, yeah. Next morning, Grandma goes down to Mission Hospital to the treadmill. Miss Gillespie, we can't find anything wrong with your heart. So the cardiologist called in all associates he could find. It. Yesterday, today, can't explain it. Grandma goes home on time, God's time, of course, as he had asked, gets the milk bucket and goes to the barn and milks the cows. My mother was there, and mother's a good Christian lady, but she said, Mama, you can't go milk. You've got heart trouble. And Grandpa said, no, she don't. God cured her. And he did. And she outlived Grandpa. God's still in the shaking business. When we're committed and yielded to the cause of Christ, would you stand in that? Your heads are bowed. Come to the piano and organ. Play what God would have you play. Lord, I realize the world doesn't like sound doctrine, your doctrine, your principles, or your precepts. We don't care what the world likes or what religion likes. We're going to follow your schedule, your word. Be willing vessels for you to use. Help us, Father, to be usable. I don't know the needs in that. Maybe someone here that's not saved, never surrendered. They've heard the gospel message. Jesus says the blood atones for sin. And all we have to do is repent. And you blot out and erase all the sins. Rather than name the Lamb's book alive and save us. Then you're Lord. And we follow you and listen to you and read your word and abide by it. And you do the rest. Thank you for this portion of your word and for all the things you do for us. We love you so very much. Whatever your needs are in that.